Well, if you have your Bibles open to Joshua 5, we're going to continue our journey through Joshua. And so this morning we're going to be reading out of Joshua 5. Last week we read through Joshua 4, though. Now, does anyone remember what we talked about last week? Did you guys catch that? Anyone remember what we talked about last week? Oh, yeah, we talked about how easily it is that we forget things, right? Like how we forget what the pastor even shared about. We forget all sorts of things. And so we talked about how God had the Israelites build an altar, right? An altar of stones, and he had them do that to remember what the Lord had done in their lives. It was to serve as a sign to them, remember, to their kids, and to all people, to the whole world of what the Lord has done. Now, you guys remember that? Okay, good. Whew. I used to do that in youth group and be like, what? I don't remember that. Well, this morning, we're going to keep moving through Joshua on this journey that we've been walking through as we pick up here in Joshua chapter 5. And as we read here, we're going to see that after crossing the Jordan, right, as they cross this Jordan, instead of just continuing immediately into battle, because the enemy was right there on the other side of the Jordan, instead of continuing into battle, they stop here for a moment in a place called Gilgal. And so if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me to see what this little stop was all about. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until we had crossed over, their hearts melted, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. At that time the Lord said to Joshua, 'Make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again.' So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath Haraloth. Now this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the desert on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the desert during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the desert for 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land that he had solemnly promised their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place, and these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. Verse 9, then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you.' So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan. Verse 13, now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for this servant?' The commander of the army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so." So the last 2 weeks, we touched on this amazing miracle that the Lord had done, where God had stopped the flow of the Jordan that was at flood stage, and how the Israelites then were able to cross over on dry ground. Well, we see here at the beginning of verse 5 that the Israelites' enemies were now melting away. with fear because of seeing and hearing what God has done. The Israelites, they're pumped, right? They're excited of what God's done. I'm sure the morale of the people is greater than it's ever been, especially over the past 40 years, right, as they've been wandering in the desert. Now, you would think this seems like a perfect time to advance on the enemy, right? They're in fear, you're pumped, you're excited. It'd be a perfect chance to advance on the enemy and to take this land that God had promised them. But they didn't. Instead of advancing, they stopped. And they ended up hanging out in this place called Gilgal. And instead of using their weapons on the enemy, Joshua used the weapons on his own people here as he circumcised them. Now, if you don't know what that word means, I encourage you, don't Google it, all right? The images would probably not be well. Just have someone talk to someone next to you if you need to find out what that means, all right? But it was a ritual. It was a ritual that would have left the men in the camp physically incapacitated, probably for some days, especially back in the old days with using the big old flint knives and how they did it, all right? And it really made themselves vulnerable at this moment to the enemy. If you think about this, here they are, you know, make themselves vulnerable. And so why? Why? What was the purpose of this little stop in Gilgal? Well, as I studied this chapter, there were three things that really stood out to me that the Lord spoke to me of why they stopped, the purpose of this stop in Gilgal. And the first was this. It showed their willingness to submit to the Lord. It showed their willingness to submit to the Lord. I want to read a little story to you. It says, a farmer and his wife traveled along a dirt road in the days of the old horse and buggy. As their horse pulled them along a dangerous stretch of road, the woman became very anxious. The road hugged the side of a steep hill, and as the wife looked over the side of the buggy, she saw a long, deep drop to a river below. In a moment of panic, she snatched one of the reins from her husband's hand. The husband then calmly offered the other strap of the reins. Oh no, she cried. I don't want both reins. I could never manage an animal of this size myself. In that case, the husband said, you must make a choice. You take both reins or let me take both. Two people can't drive one horse. Submitting to her husband's knowledge and experience with horses, she handed him the reins. And they safely reached their destination. Now Joshua and the Israelites find themselves in a similar situation here in Joshua chapter 5. They have a choice. Are they going to take the reins and march on themselves? Or are they going to submit and give God the reins? Wow. That'd make like a really cool country song, wouldn't it? You know, because sometimes you just got to throw your hands up in the air and say, Jesus, take the reins. Take them from my hands. Because I can't do this on my own. I'm letting go. And I better stop right here. Because I'm making a fool of myself. What's new, right? Jesus, take the reins, right? Sorry, I couldn't pass that one up there. Not quite Carrie Underwood, but all seriousness aside, this was, some of you got that, some of you didn't. This was all about submitting to the Lord. The Israelites, they've been wandering in the desert now for 40 years. And we see here all the men who had been circumcised except for Joshua and Caleb had died in the desert. So all the ones who had been born in the desert now were all uncircumcised. And God tells Joshua to circumcise all the men and remain where they are until they're healed. Now from a human perspective, this would border on insanity. Okay? They were on the verge of war. They were on the verge of war and they're about to perform this ritual that would leave them incapacitated for days. Why would God asked them to do something like this? Well, I think it was all about trusting and submitting to the Lord. Were they willing to submit to the Lord? Even if he asked them to do something challenging, even if he asked them to do something a little unconventional, right? Now, it would be easy to submit to God if he never asked you to do anything difficult, right? If he never asked you to do anything costly or anything that was risky. But if we only submit to his will when it's something easy or pleasant to do, are we really submitting to his will? See, true submission is giving up our way for God's way, regardless of what that might be. You see, if we truly believe that God is God, if we truly believe that God is the God of the universe, the God that created each and every one of us, that loves us, and if we claim that he is Lord and Savior of our lives, then we have to learn to submit to the Lord, even when it's challenging and unconventional, even if it may cost us everything. God's will for our lives is that we would learn to fully submit to him, that we would fully give our will to him. And here's the thing, sometimes he might challenge us in this. He might test us to see, are we really submitted? That's what Abraham and Isaac, you remember the story? Abraham and Isaac, you know, God finally gives him a son, and God says, go sacrifice your son. Wait, what? God was basically just saying, do you love me more than your son? Do you love me more than anything else? Joshua and the Israelites here, they're in a vulnerable place. The Jordan was at their backs, and they were out in the open, exposed to the enemy. But they trusted in the Lord. And there in Gilgal, they fully submitted to God. They gave him everything. Something that their parents and their grandparents failed to do. And what happened? They wandered in the desert and died, right? And that leads us to the second reason God had them take a little stop here in Gilgal, or at least the second reason that God spoke to me. The second thing about Gilgal here was it served as a place of redemption. It served as a place of redemption. Verse 9 says, then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. And Gilgal actually means that the reproach has been rolled away. That's why it's called Gilgal. The reproach was rolled away in that place. Now it tells us in Joshua 4:19, if we go back, it says that the Israelites crossed the Jordan River on the 10th day of the first month. Okay? Now many of us would be like, okay, whatever. But this is significant. And the reason it's significant is because it was 40 years ago that day when the Israelites marched out of Egypt. 40 years ago to that day when they crossed the river. And God is telling them here in chapter 5 that 40 years of spiritual defeat, 40 years of failure are now being rolled away. Washed away, just like that Jordan. Washed away. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. I'm taking you to a new land. The days of failure and disobedience, the days of grumbling and complaining, the days of wandering hopelessly in the desert, they're over. They were now a people with a new sense and a new purpose. God had rolled away the reproach. They were submitted now and determined to take this new land and ultimately to take on this new life that God had for them. God had brought complete redemption to their lives in this moment, in this place of Gilgal. And the reality is the same is true for each of us in this place. The Israelites were able to put their past behind them and look forward to the future, and God has given us the ability to do the same. Next week, we've already talked about, we're going to celebrate Easter. We're going to celebrate the fact that Jesus didn't stay dead, right? Because if he stayed dead, Easter would mean absolutely nothing. He didn't stay dead. Yeah, he was crucified on a cross. But on Sunday, he rose from the grave, bringing the possibility of new life for each and every one of us. He died and rose again to bring redemption to both you and me. In the same way God brought redemption to the Israelites so many years ago. And like the Israelites, it's time for us to step out of our past and begin to live the new life that he has for us. And that's the hard part. We live in the past, and God's saying it's time to step out of the past and this new life that he has for us, a life that's submitted to him, a new day, a new beginning, a new land. This stop in Gilgal showed their willingness to submit to the Lord. It served as a place of redemption. And then thirdly, it became a reminder of God's presence and power. Let me read you again verses 13 through 15. It says, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And Joshua did. Now, we don't know for sure what this scene looked like, what was happening that led up to this scene, but I imagine that after they were done with the circumcisions, after this Passover dinner that we read about, we didn't talk much about it, but the celebration that they're having as the reproach has been rolled away, after this Passover dinner, I'm sure as their leader, Joshua was probably thinking a lot about what was next, right? About the battle that lied ahead. What would the Lord ask them to do now? What was this going to look like? And then all of a sudden this figure is there standing before them with a sword in his hand. Who was this man? Why was he there? Well, as I studied these scriptures, I found that most theologians and Bible scholars believe that this person that Joshua encountered was Jesus Christ himself. Jesus in human form, centuries before he would come to us in a stable in Bethlehem, centuries before he would come and die for our sins on a cross. And as he stands here before Joshua saying, as commander of the army of the Lord, "I have now come," this was huge for Joshua and the Israelites because God was reminding them of his presence. He was reminding them that they would not fight this battle alone. The Lord would go with them, and the Lord would bring them the victory. Now, here's the thing. I think we need to go back and look at the first reason that they stopped here in Gilgal. The purpose of submitting to the Lord. Would Jesus have been standing here in front of Joshua at this moment if they hadn't submitted to his will? Would he be there? You see, I believe God will go before us. I believe he will bring us victory as long as we're fighting the right fight. In verse 13, before Joshua knows who this is, he asks him, "Are you for us or our enemies?" And how does he respond? It's an interesting response here because you would expect him to say, "Yes, I'm for you. Come on, Joshua, let's go." But he says, "Neither. Neither." You're like, "Well, wait. What? You're not for either? Neither." God isn't on this side or that side. God is the side. Amen? God is the side. In Matthew 12:30, it says, "Whoever is not with me is against me." God is the side. If we are fighting the right, if we're not fighting the right fight, we're in trouble. If we're not on the right side, we are in trouble. Because that means we're against God. But if we have submitted to the Lord, and if we have submitted to his will, then we can know not only is He with us, but He goes before us. He will bring us the victory. It comes down to submitting to His will, to submitting to being on His side. I want to finish this morning with one last illustration. Some of you go, why did he have that title up there? Well, this will explain it to you. Evangelist William Moses Tidwell told a story of a man that struggled with fully submitting everything to the Lord. This man would come to church, and he would regularly come to the front when the gospel invitation was given. But even though the man would pray and pray, he would leave the church feeling discouraged and troubled. I'm not ready to submit everything, he'd say. Well, one day the man came forward, as he had done several times before. He prayed and prayed, and he finally threw his hands in the air and shouted, all right, Lord, I submit, colt and all. After shouting these strange words, his face began to beam with joy. Thank you, Lord, he shouted, at last, I'm saved. He was then asked, now when you went forward and prayed, why did you shout colt and all? The man then explained that he was the owner of a stable of racehorses. He knew the Lord had been challenging him to give up his racehorses because they were associated with the vice of gambling. The man was willing to give up racing and had sold off all of his horses, except for one, a young, extremely fast colt that he just couldn't let go of. I just wanted to see that horse race one time, he explained. So I told God I would give up the racing business, but first I had to see the colt run one race. Though I prayed and prayed and tried to make a deal with God, I couldn't experience peace. I knew what God was asking of me. So I finally, after struggle and pain, I finally submitted everything to Him, colt and all. And at that moment, I knew that I was saved. I guess the question this morning is, how many of us hold on to that one thing? We're willing to give God 90%. But oh, I want that 10%. I can't let go of it. If I could just, God, please, come on, and we work with God. But what happens? We don't experience His peace because we haven't fully submitted everything to Him and to His will. And this morning, I believe God is encouraging us as we see the Israelites. And I believe the reason that Joshua saw Jesus Himself was because of His submission, because of their ultimate submission to God and what He had told them to do. And I believe if we want to experience Jesus Christ in our lives in the way that the Spirit of God, the way it talks about in His Word, it means that we have to fully submit everything to Him. Not just part of us, not just here, not just there, but everything, colt and all. Amen? It's hard. It's not easy. But in the end, the way we were able to say wonderful cross, how we sang that song, a cross that meant pain, a cross that means difficulty, that means death, we can see that it's wonderful because it's God's will. And in the end, God is glorified. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this Word. I think most of us thank You for this Word, Lord. It's a hard Word and it's challenging and we don't want to. But I think of this man who just struggled every time going up to the front and praying, but finding no peace because he couldn't submit that last thing that You were asking of him. Lord, are there things in our lives that we're holding on to, those things that we just keep hoping that You'll change Your mind? But we know that, Lord, You're saying it's time to give it up. Lord, what are those things in our life? And Lord, my prayer in that is that You would reveal those things to us. And then secondly, Lord, that You would give us the strength and the ability to trust in You, the strength and the ability to submit it all to You, everything, our entire life to You, Lord, to live the life that You've called us to live, a life worthy of you, Lord, worthy of your praise. Teach us, show us, Lord. Show us how to submit to you. Show us how in submitting, Lord, you roll away the reproach of our lives, the failures and the struggles. And in the midst of that, we get to experience your presence in our life like we've never seen it before, Lord. Lord, may you come and help us, Lord, to submit it all to you, that we may walk and be the men and women of God that you've called us to be, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this word. May it challenge each of us, Lord, in the areas that maybe we are holding on to, Lord. May it challenge us that it's an everyday thing. Lord, we can submit all to you, and the next day you ask something more, and we have to be willing to do that as well, Lord, that daily we would be people who learn to submit fully to you, to your will and your desire for our life, Lord. Lord, thank you for this word. May it encourage us, Lord. May we see the beauty in submitting to you. May we see, Lord, the joy and the peace that comes from giving it all to you, Lord. We just, again, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this morning, Lord, as we head into this week, as we get moving towards Easter, Lord, we just pray your blessing and your hand, the relationships, the people that we see this week, Lord. We just pray you would give opportunities for that simple little invite, to invite someone to come along with us to church, Lord, to experience you, to see you maybe in a way that they have never experienced you before, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for these things, and we give them to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.